Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I accept your charge today. So in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, use me for your glory this day. Amen. The young man left his home in the late hours of the night, wandering the streets. The officers stopped him, a likely suspect on drugs. Though he identified himself and they could not find any drugs, cuffed him and hauled him to jail. In the meantime, the mother, realizing that he was gone again, called several members of the family to pray while she goes out to find her son, who was likely picked up by the police. This scenario repeats itself year after year. The woman and her son eventually left New York to live in Florida, where the mother's sister had moved some years before. But the late night wandering didn't stop. One time during one of those trips the mother had to make back to New York for a court case. You know, she's a New York attorney and had to go back occasionally for her clients. The sister got the call. Joe is at the police station somewhere in Ocala. Can you go for him? The sheriff told the sister and her husband what happened. He had run out of gas and walked miles into a church. As he entered the building, he kept repeating with his hands up, "I have nothing on myself to harm you. My name is Joe Blow, and I need your help." Another time, same scenario, same call to the sister, but this time the rescue was in the village's neighborhood. So 18 miles later, as the sister and her husband drove up to the street where the sheriff had waited with her nephew, they saw Joe pacing back and forth with his hands over his head, repeating, "I have nothing on myself to harm you. My name is Joe Blow. I have nothing on myself to harm you. My name is Joe Blow." Joe suffered with a chronic bipolar. And when he's off his medication, he likes to be on the move. I share these stories about my nephew, who, for two primary reasons, though he's mentally impaired, some would say out of his mind, he never lost reality of who he is, a Black man. He knew as a Black man, he knew as a Black man how we needed to act with the police officer, with any law enforcement. It was ingrained into his being for his survival. Handicapped or not, mentally ill or not, he knew what will be seen first, the color of his skin. He knew that his reality is different from most. There is another story about how each day friends place the handicapped beggar on the step of a temple, and I can't help but to wonder how many had passed him without seeing him. I can't see him because of who he is, of who he represents. Listen with me to how Dr. Luke described that scene from Acts chapter 3. Give me strength, Lord. Peter and John went into the temple that one afternoon to take part of the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so that he could beg for the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, "Look at us." The layman then looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold to give you, but I will give you what I have. In the name of the Christ, Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk." Then Peter took the man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and straightened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Hallelujah. Then walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. All the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. And when they realized he was the lame beggar they had seen before at the Gate Beautiful, they were astonished. They all rushed out in amazement to Solomon Concave, where the man was holding on to Peter and John tightly. Holding on tightly to Peter and John. This is a spectacular story if you hear one. You see, at 3 o'clock, when the trumpets announced in the evening sacrifice, Peter and John weaved their way through the crowded streets and up the temple to pray. As they climbed the massive temple steps, 210 feet and solid stone, 4 men hurried past them, each holding one corner of a makeshift stretcher. A 5th man is lumped rather awkwardly on the mat's concave center. The 4 men set him down on the top of the stairs just beyond the temple for prayer. However, the 5th man remains lying outside. The 5th man at this beautiful temple was lame from birth. He did not do anything wrong, but by his condition of his birth, he was limited to what he could do. You see, according to the law of the day, a man in his condition is denied access to serve as in the priestly class that offers sacrifice and to approach the holy place at the center of the temple where God's presence is said to dwell. The word sacrifice in Hebrew means to draw near, but the closest this man is getting to whatever whiffs of offerings or snatches of prey the wind carries outside is outside where he and the rest of the hopeless and broken lives. Like this man, black and brown people did not choose the color of their skin. They did not choose where to be born, and somehow people often deny them access to society's benefits. Some people do not accord minorities equal respect. You may have gone to the same school. You have the same level of training. You're working harder than others, and yet you can be paid less, either because of your black, brown, or a female. So, in our society today, we're dealing with all kinds of discriminations, racism, sexism, ageism, homophobia, xenophobia, and on. Many people have been handicapped because of their condition at birth. Society has rendered this man poor and powerless. All that he could do was to beg. He was living at the mercy of the rich and powerful. Interestingly, this man chose to come to the entrance of the house of the Lord. He was probably ignored by many, and many did the pious thing by throwing some coins at him. Being on the floor every day in and of itself a paralyzing thought. It's a place of humiliation, a place of dependence, and many believers don't see anything wrong with that. They could have at least provided him with a job, but they didn't. They could have let him feel some sense of dignity by putting him on a chair, but they did not. As long as they could throw some coins at him, their religious duty is done. That is what we have been seeing in the church so many times when the issue of racism comes up. That we walk about and we talk about how bad it is, but there's nothing we can do about it. We know Jesus is love all, but as long as we have enjoying the privilege that comes from being born in a certain skin color or gender or place of birth or certain abilities, we are okay. We can say to our friends that we are being that are being discriminated against. I am with you. Let me know how I can help you and all the pious things to do without changing the condition of our friends. We are okay. Peter and John could have done the same thing, but they didn't. They did not just throw a few coins at them and walked away. No, they got a nudge by the Holy Spirit. At the sound of the layman's call for a small donation, Peter and John abruptly stopped and looked intently at him. This was the first miracle that day, a simple act of looking. Peter and John looked at him. They paid him attention. They cared enough to look at him. They also invited the lame man to look at them. Friends, this is respect. This is humanity on display. Peter shared their own limitation with this man as well. And that is empathy. Peter acknowledged that what he has, and that is honesty. I will give you what I have. That is generosity. One of the reasons why discrimination continues to exist in our society is because the privileged don't usually like to acknowledge that they are privileged. And they often don't want to give up any of their privileges. What I have to give you. Are you willing to share from what you have? Are you willing to give up some of your privileges in order to advocate for others? Peter said, all I have, God, is Jesus. And I know that he's the source of power. I may not be able to do more than it is humanly possible, but Jesus can help. Jesus can help. Jesus can help. We know that we have what it takes to help, what resides in us, this abundance of power to help. Are we listening? See, that day Peter reached out and touched this man's hand. That is love. That is love. Thursday night, we went into the scriptures for the Great Commission, and when we asked all the groups, what are you hearing God is saying through these words from Matthew 28:16-20? So many of them say the love that God has, and not only the love that they were saying, they're hearing God is love. They're also hearing that this God who is love is with us. Amen. When Peter lifted him up, my friend, that is helping and loving our neighbors. When Peter touched this man and lifted him up, his feet and ankles receive his strength. His feet and ankle receive strength. At this moment, I could just hear the prophet Ezekiel saying, I prophesied just as I commanded. There was a great noise as I was prophesying. When the great quaking and the bones came together, bone by bone, and when I looked, suddenly there were sinews on them. The flesh appeared and they were covered over with skin, but there was still no breath in them. He said to me, prophesy to breath, prophesy human man, say to the breath, the Lord God proclaimed, come from the four winds, breath, breathe into these dead bodies and I will let them live. I prophesied just as he commanded me. When the breath entered them, they came to life and they stood on their feet, an extraordinary large army. I just couldn't stop hearing those words from the prophet when I knew that when Peter touched this man and then he lifted him up, gave him his right hand. There's a whole story about the right hand, but I another time for that. And his feet came up and straightened and be strong. You know, there's a Chinese proverb which says, if you want to help a man for a day, give him a fish. But if you want to help him for the rest of his life, teach him how to fish. So what is it that God has put in your power that you can use to help someone else? Are you feeling a nudge? Who might the Lord be sending you to help? Are you feeling a nudge? The word of God says in Proverbs 31:8, speak on behalf of the helped voiceless, for the rights of all who are vulnerable. Speak out in order to judge with righteousness and to defend the needy and the poor. Friend, God is still speaking through the nudging of the Holy Spirit, and he's speaking to you and me. Because beyond the demonstrations and the protests, there's a bigger issue. So how can we use the influence to change and transform our police departments? How can we use our friends with some powerful politicians to change policies which are perpetrating racism and other forms of discrimination in our country? How can we reach out to minority children who are coming out of poor households and financially adopt them by helping them through school? Like Peter, in what ways can we reach out and lift up somebody else? And who might that person be? Listen, look, lift up somebody's hand. And as the song says, reach out and touch somebody and make this place a better place if you can. When I sit, and when you and I might sit at our table and having conversation, it probably sit and talk about the events of the day. But in some of other homes, the conversation takes on a different flavor. I wanted to show you this morning a scene at a table where this conversation is happening, but I couldn't find the particular clip from this movie, but I did find the conversation. So picture this conversation you're about to hear saying at a table. This is what they're teaching. When you and I are teaching the Lord's Prayer, saying our grace only, they're hearing this kind of teaching. These children are hearing this kind of teaching from their parents. Listen with me.
We actually have a line that we do at our house. We practice this thing. What is it? I'm Ariel Sky Williams. I'm 8 years old. I'm unarmed and I have nothing that will hurt you.
It's just kind of a thing we practice at our house. There are great police officers out there. There's also some police officers who are not so good.
My friends, as we prepare our hearts now to enter another table, the table of the Lord, I invite you to get your elements and be ready and in a spirit and picture yourself sitting at the Lord's table. Christ our Lord invites us to his table, all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another.
Merciful God,
we confess that we have not loved you with all our heart. We have failed
to be an obedient church.
We have not done your will. We have broken your law.
We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of thee. Forgive us, we pray. We ask for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
My brothers and sisters, hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. The Lord is with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with the people on earth and all the company in heaven, we praise your name and join the unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory.
Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church. Deliver us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, he gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty act in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ is dying. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine, make them for us the body and blood of Jesus Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, and one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. That day, the Lord recognizing that we are all broken, and he poured out his blood for us. And he broke the bread for us, so we may be redeemed. So we may from one body become his body for the world, for a time just like this. As you take your elements, just prepare to partake in this virtual table, the table of God for all of us. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ broken for you. The body of Christ broken for you. His blood given for you. His blood given for you. His blood given for you for a time just as this. I invite you to take a moment of silence and just reflect on those who are not or missing from the table today. The many tables across this country, the many tables in our neighborhoods, the many tables in our families who are missing today. As we go into the next closing hymn, Lord, whose love through humble service, may this be a hymn that's for you personally.
Sing and free the soul. Here's the Lord.
Mercy, know and live. The author of Proverbs said that we are to go and speak out in the word of, in order to judge with righteousness and to defend the poor and needy. Poor and needy. Luke has said in chapter 4 of his gospel. Oh, this is how Jesus started his ministry, and I am sure he has commissioned all of us the same way. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me out to preach the good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the prisoners, and to recover sight to the blind, to liberate the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That is our charge too. At the end of that story, that man leaped into the church, was into the temple praising God, and he was holding on tight to the ones who had touched him. I'm sure somebody, God is leading you to somebody to touch. So they too can walk into the temple with you holding on tight, because they have seen something in and through you, holding on tight. I want some of what you got to take me into the house of prayer. But that happens outside first. It happened outside where you are. Then you come and worship and give God's praise. So in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, rise up and walk. Leave this place in peace. May God be with you, because that is his promise. Amen. Till we meet again.